This is episode one of the Hollywood Heat talk show podcast where we sit with the homies of Blaze Review and we talk movies. Let me introduce Cantley. Let me introduce Cam. And let's get to it, man. This is exciting because, like you said, this was kind of your idea, Cantley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so we talked at work. I know Cam and I did about just having like kind of a platform on here too for things like entertainment and Hollywood. Because we started actually interested in like the Marvel universe, and I think like it just kind of like went in like different directions with different stuff. So that's basically kind of how we came up with the idea. And I know you're a movie person yourself, Paulie. So.
I am. I watch tons of movies. It was funny how the conversation came up because I was just talking to Cantley on some movie stuff like, hey, you watch this, you watch that. And he was like, Cam has been, she's been telling me we should do some type of movie segment or something like that. So, I mean, you a movie fan, right, Cam? I like
the I'm one of those like annoying people where it's just like everything that happens, I'm like, oh my God, that reminds me of this movie that I saw. Have you seen this movie? And Cantley's like, for the love of God, man. Needed to talk about it somewhere.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it just worked out really nicely that you two had already, you know, your own kind of thing going. And I feel like we all vibe really well on a certain level of like appreciating the same world of pop culture and media and stuff like that. So, yeah, it came together nicely. So
I think it's funny because Malik, when we do the third shift, you put me on to like a bunch of new music that I've never heard of. I'm like, what the hell is this guy listening to? And then, like, when I talk to Cam, it's, like, the same but for movies. So that's why I kind of knew. I was like, I think it would be perfect if, like, the three of us had this, like, platform to talk movies. So yeah, that's kind of a reason, too, why I thought it would mix really well.
I agree. I think this is definitely going to be fun. And my biggest thing is I feel like movies are coming out all the time. And so I always make it a point to try to watch at least some of them because you got to know what people is talking about, right? So right. The biggest trend right now is, I ain't even going to say the name of the movie. I'm going to just say Michael B. Jordan is the biggest trend right now. Did you get a chance to watch that, Cantley?
Yeah, I did actually. But before we jump into this, I'm going to start with a surprise for you guys.
Okay,
and I'm going to start with Cam first, though. If there's none of these you have seen, tell me. But if you had to rank Michael B. Jordan's movie, so Black Panther, Creed, Just Mercy, Fruitvale Train Station, Without Remorse, how would you rank them?
What was the fourth one?
The Fruitvale Train Station one. Have you seen that one?
I have not seen that one.
Yeah, that was 2013, so it was like a little bit older, but it's a really good movie. I just recently watched that one.
I'll have to look that up. No. Okay, that's hard because they're all very different films.
Yeah.
Creed has to be at the top.
Really?
That's all I'm saying. Keep your list going.
I'm gonna put Creed at the top. I mean, I would probably say Just Mercy is up there. I think it's a very important film, is it not?
It is.
I think that's why films rank high with me, is if you can do a true story justice, and if it's an important movie, I'm like, that should be up there. Like, I love Killmonger and Black Panther, so he would probably be, I mean, I know that's not...
Ooh. Killmonger's my one.
What'd you say?
Killmonger's my one.
Oh,
my one.
Y'all putting a lot of disrespect on Creed.
Creed was good. I like Creed at 2 and then Black Panther. I also love Tessa Thompson. So them together in a movie.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Dream. What was the other one?
So we had Black Panther, Creed, Just Mercy, Without Remorse.
Oh, Without Remorse. I enjoyed the movie, but I'm going to have to say Without Remorse is probably, besides the one that I haven't seen, probably at the bottom.
Do you think we'll look back at Without Remorse, though, maybe a couple of years from now and be like, okay, like, that movie was actually better, like, in his whole, like, collection of work?
I don't know. Before we started this, I even said, I was like, at first when I watched it, I thought they were trying to do another, who did I say?
You said John Wick?
Yes, John Wick. Yeah. I was like, it didn't feel like that once they started doing like more like the military, all of that stuff. But like, I don't know. It seems like it's very new to him, but he has tons of different roles that are like action wise. But I feel like this was new to his career.
Yeah. How would you rank him, Malik?
I think his Creed series will definitely be something we'll look back on 10, 15 years from now and be like, yeah, Creed was
good, yeah.
Because I have to say, I got really nerdy as far as like watching him train for Creed. Like he trained like a real boxer. So I was like, yeah. That's a lot of value in that, because I'm just thinking he is acting, but he's actually knowing what he's doing, and that's big time. So what'd you say?
Not to cut you off, but like, did you see when Black Panther came out, when he like bulked up, but then like months later when he played Creed, he like shred down like crazy, and I was like,
that was nuts.
He's really training, like,
yeah.
That's crazy to me. But second, I would probably have to go Just Mercy.
Okay.
Third, Fruitvale Station. And then fourth,
I'm gonna make a note right now.
You should. The only thing you should know, Cam, it's a one-time watch. I've heard this many times. It's a one-time watch, and that's it. It's not something you really go back to.
But it's
worth watching, because it was early in his career. That's why I feel like it was not only his career, but
he was all skinny and scrawny.
Yes,
yeah,
he looked like he was on the come up.
did you like how they had like the texting things in that movie? How like when he would text his friends or like anybody else would like pop up on the screen, you'd like read it. I thought that part of that was really cool. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Now that movie definitely. I'll add, I don't want to spoil it too much for Cam, but like through it, you're mainly, you don't know what the ending is while you're watching majority of the movie. Like, honestly, like I think until the last like 20, 30 minutes, am I right, Haley? Like,
yeah, it's probably last like 20 minutes.
And then that's it. That's the end of the movie. And it's like, what?
Yeah. So, the ending is not crazy.
Spoiling it too much. You're going to say the same thing while you're watching. You're just going to be like, huh. Okay.
Next time we hop on, I'll come back and we'll have a full conversation about how it is. Now I'm interested.
So, Cam, you did get a chance to watch Without Remorse, right? How'd you like it?
Yeah, I did. I liked it more than I thought I would. I think Michael B. Jordan was incredible. I thought he had a great performance. And I just, like, you can tell it's him doing a lot of his own stuff, which is just crazy to me. Like, you were talking about him training. That goes so far with me when I'm watching a movie, for sure. So that definitely added something to it. I think, like, I'm not huge on war movies most of the time, or war-based movies, because I feel like it's a story that we've seen before 9 times out of 10. But I will say, like, there was more diversity in this cast. We kind of talked about this before than what I was used to. Like, I just watched Cherry not too long ago, which I don't know if you guys saw that. That's the Tom Holland one.
You told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Russo brothers directed it, and it has, like, there's a part that's his time in the military, and it's just an all-white cast, and it's just, like, it was a phenomenal movie, but that just gets boring.
Yeah,
so it's, like, nice to see some diversity in a movie that's kind of been done before. Am I allowed to, like, are we allowed to talk about what I mean, I guess it happens in the first 20 minutes of it. Yeah. I didn't, like, I read the description after, and I was, like, avenging the death of his wife.
Yes.
He died in the first 10 minutes. I was like,
I was spooked. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
This is deep.
I just saw Rachel. I said, I wish his wife was in it a little bit longer.
Yes.
So we like got to like know her, I guess, a little bit more. Cause like it was like 5 minutes in and she was dead. I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
They was quick
to offer. And then we had all the scenes of him being like the cutest dad on the face of the earth and like all excited for his baby and everything. I was like,
they could have definitely pulled us in a lot more. I ain't gonna lie. Yes, I could have been a lot more invested in their little family.
Yeah. Because, like, when he goes back to the house and it's, like, the crime scene and, like, the bed and all that stuff's gone, and he just has, like, little breakdown, I was like, man, this, like, I wish I knew more about his life.
Right. Like, I agree.
Yeah.
Nah, I had no complaints with it. I had no complaints with that movie. Like, we was just talking about on Twitter, I seen the funniest thing where somebody was like, My girl don't watch no action movies. Now she's screaming for a sequel.
I can relate to that.
Especially when it's, you know, standing there out and it's like misty outside and he's wearing those glasses and his little ball cap and everything. Yeah. Like, we see where you're going with that.
They set him up for a good little role to be the main spotlight of it. Hey, I'm not mad at him. Do you think?
Right. Love it for him.
So I will ask you though, because I was talking to Rachel about this. I said, do you wish there was like a little more like character development for him? Because he kind of seemed like he was, I don't know, like the same person like throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because like it just went so quick. Like it got right to what the plot of the movie was. I don't know if it went too quick to it, but he just seemed like he was the same person like throughout the whole movie. Other than his wife dying too soon and like character development, I was like, I liked it.
I mean, I would agree with that. I'm glad you brought that up because I was just going to say how the ending went. They introduced Rainbow Six, which is a very big like storyline on its own. It was literally a special ops SWAT team. That was literally the whole story of it. So that story, I feel like, can go in a million directions. And I feel like that's a chance for him. Like I said, he's not John Wick yet, but that could be his opportunity to move into that spotlight.
Yeah. I thought he died though, man. I was so sad. I was like, did he really drown here? Yeah, and like 5 minutes later, I was like, okay.
There were like five times when I thought he died.
Yeah, I'm
just like, no, he's not dead. I don't care.
Yeah, it's like this is.
He could be dead, and I'd say, no.
Yeah,
he's not dead.
Exactly. So, okay, out of 10, what would you rate it?
Seven.
Yeah, I'd say 6 or 7.
I'd say 6.5, 7. Somewhere. So I think we're all like roughly the same.
I thought it was a very impressive movie. Like it was very well shot, very well acted and everything. Oh,
the scene where he was in the car while it was on fire with dude. I was like, that's crazy. And then it went to the other scene where he's underwater with the with the dude. I'm like, oh, they went too crazy with those. Yes.
Have you seen like on his Instagram though, where like they show this like him shooting the scene of him getting in the car?
No.
It's crazy. They like rub him down on like all this like Vaseline or whatever. It's like the crazy. I saw it probably like a week or two before the movie came out. Yeah, they like show how they made that. It was honestly really crazy. I was like, is this car really on fire? And it was. And I was like, oh man. I was like, this is wild.
Wow.
So yeah, it's crazy stuff.
I'll say the other part is when, you know, the hits start coming in the very beginning and the one guy's taking out his trash before he gets hit by the car. I it was like an audible moment.
No, that definitely caught me off guard.
Yes.
We're in it.
Yep.
You knew at that point there's no turning back. It was like, you're not turning back from this. You're not.
But I was about to say, I mean, so the next thing, I mean, just to add out, I was on Twitter scrolling. And I seen that Marvel released their big trailer of, it was, if I'm right, Cam, it was a recap of what they've done so far, right? And then they just threw in newer trailers, right?
Yeah, so it started out with kind of like it was nice because I think a lot of people, I'm sure you guys feel the same way, have just like missed the experience of the movies. So I think they kind of wanted to call back the sensation of like their past films and like the best moments of it. And when I watched it the first time, I was not expecting to hear Stan Lee's voice. I was like, I don't know what this is, but they're started off on a weird, sad note. Yeah. I don't know what they're about to do here. But then, yeah, it kind of transitions into, like, the future films. Like, we're finally getting the Black Widow movie and everything. And then an official slate for the next few years, because now that the pandemic is finally winding down, there's an end in sight, maybe.
Yep.
People can start, like, actually announcing dates to release movies again without them getting pushed back. So how did you guys feel about it? Anything?
Think it's
all going to stick?
So it's funny you said it like that, as far as like that first part was like a, hey, if you missed it, here's just a short little recap, because it's almost like they're switching gears as far as, I don't know what they're switching gears on, but it seems like they have a whole slate of stuff that is like, this is what we bring to the table now, like this is how we doing it. My only thing about the trailer is that it's a trailer, you know? It's all hype. That's all it is right now. So once these movies start dropping, that's going to be when people are like either bored or they continue in a great run.
So I'll tell you, I think this makes me feel like I'm going to get old really fast because it's weird. So I remember I had this magazine as a kid. And I think Daredevil might have been on this magazine, and I'm like 9 or 10. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get this magazine. Well, in the back of it had all of like the first Marvel movies that were coming out. So it's like 2006. And it's like, oh, okay, like Iron Man 2008, like, and all this stuff. So when I see these dates for these like upcoming movies, I'm thinking like, okay, like I'm going to get old really fast because like 30 will be here and like soon. So I just feel like it's like that all over again. But I think the Marvel movies, like the first set, kept us like very entertained for such a long time. And like, they're just timeless movies. They really are.
And it's crazy to think about, like, you know, the first time you see that date of like, all right, 2008 is when this Iron Man movie is going to come out. And you think about kind of where the MCU was at that point versus where this new announcement is of like, these are these are the next dates that we're seeing. This is the next slate that we're seeing. It's like the universe is in a totally different place. And, you know, the movies like Iron Man, and those are like the foundation for that. And we have like those movies to thank for where it is now. So, I mean, hopefully they'll keep the momentum. I don't see them slowing down personally. I mean, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And who knows? I mean, there's just so much content for them to pull from. Who knows how long they'll continue on this train.
If you would have told me in 2008 that like Marvel was going to be like this and Iron Man was like the start of it, I never would have like thought about that. I never would have believed it.
Especially because like, I'll be real with you. Like I liked the Iron Man movies because it's kind of like you grow up on them and they're like, they're good movies, especially at the time. You're like, this is the coolest thing ever. Iron Man's not my favorite. When I think of the foundation of the MCU, I'm like, it could be so many other people, but it's just you got to give credit where credit's due. Like Robert Downey Jr.
I was about to say, the actor definitely took a lot of that home.
There will never be another movie. Like, I don't think there will ever be anybody like that role, like in anything. He carried that role for so long.
Like, the only person I must say that should be mentioned in that like superhero led a role is a dude who played the first Batman. What was his name?
Christian Bale, or what?
Is it Christian Bale?
Wait, you're talking about like our Batman? Like our Batman or Adam West? My
favorite. The Dark Knight one. Who's the Dark Knight one?
Yeah.
Christian Bale, because Ben Affleck was after Christian Bale, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I just got it. So,
yeah.
I thought
Ben Affleck, I don't know, Ben Affleck was good.
No.
You don't think Ben Affleck was good?
I just don't like him because I grew up on Christian Bale on Dark Knight. And funny. I felt like he brought a lot to that role of that gritty, like, and then he could switch it up to that bachelor life, like, in an instant. It's just like Ben Affleck is acting as Christian Bale as Batman. That's like, he's two steps behind right now.
That's an interesting take. I think that the thing with Christian Bale is he also had Heath Ledger, and
that's true. And he probably challenged him to the limit for sure.
So Cam, what were you saying about the Jokers? You said who was the better, Joaquin Phoenix or Heath Ledger?
I personally would say Heath Ledger. I think Joaquin was incredible in that role in the film, but in my brain, those were like two completely different entities. Yeah. And like when I think of the Joker in his truest villain form, I definitely think of Heath Ledger. And that whole thing just breaks my heart. Like knowing the toll that took on him. And I hate to say that, like, I mean, he gave us one of the best performances, I think, like, that I will ever see or register as one of the greatest performances of my lifetime, personally. It just sucks the cost, essentially. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, I'm glad you brought it up, because that's what I feel like really sets these great actors apart from the people that's just getting to it or new actors. Because these great ones, that's them. Like, that's when I was saying Christian Bale is Batman. Like, that's what I didn't picture him as the actor. I pictured him as Batman. Like, it wasn't It wasn't no like he's acting for this role. And I feel like the Joker, he took that, Heath Ledger took that to the limit. And like you said, it ended up being his greatest performance. And I feel like actors that are like trying to get into their prime or working towards that, they know about that performance. They have to.
Yeah. And like, it's funny to me because I actually, going back to Michael B. Jordan for a second, I think he was in an interview with like Oprah after Black Panther came out, and he basically was saying how he had to go to therapy because like playing Killmonger was like so taxing on him. Because he said even like when he was offset, it like he tried to stay in that role as much as he could. So I imagine somebody like Heath Ledger playing the Joker, and the Joker is like light years better than Killmonger as a villain.
Right.
So I can only imagine like what Heath Ledger probably like had to do and go through to pull that role off.
My favorite Heath Ledger is the Joker story. I don't know if you guys have heard this. Kaylee, I might have told you about this at work. Is you know the scene where he blows up the hospital?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you gonna say it was like an accident or something like that?
Yes. Have you heard this?
I read slightly of it. You can keep telling the story. Keep telling us.
Yeah. So it was basically, I mean, they blew up a real hospital, so it's like a multi-million-dollar endeavor. And you know, it makes it better that he's in like a little nurse's outfit and everything. But they were like, "Okay, Heath, this is you have one shot. Like, whatever you do, do not mess this up. Whatever." So he presses the button. It doesn't blow up. And I'm thinking about me. I'm like, I would be like looking around like,
right, do it again.
Like, no, he does the thing where he's like pressing the button, whatever. And it was just delayed. So it ended up blowing up anyways, which is perfect because money well spent.
Exactly.
And he just played it off perfectly where he like looks back and then just like does his little walk away and everything. And I was like, that is so impressive.
Yeah.
That's big time.
That was.
So I'm a big DC fan, so you see we was talking about Marvel and went into DC. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I'm going to spin it back then. Who's your favorite Marvel villain?
Like in the movies or just like all together?
All together?
Oh my God.
I'm going to have to go, what's his name? Thanos.
I'm going to say, I think you have to go Thanos.
Was the only one that really made me like, oh, they got to body him. Like, they got to handle that immediately. He's a problem.
Okay, but in Infinity War, I was kind of like, he has a point.
Yeah.
He does have a point.
That's what I'm saying. He was a real one throughout the whole thing.
I was going to say, when he started the movie by beating up the Hulk and the Hulk did not come out the rest of the movie, I was like, oh, yeah, this dude's he's for real.
He was a real one. That's why I was like, it's kind of hard to, it's hard to compete with that villain.
Yeah, it's hard.
But so, I mean, just to go back through the Marvel trailer, like we said, they announced some things towards the end. One of like the recent ones is Black Widow. The Legend of the Ten Rings and Eternals, and then there was a Spider-Man that's supposed to be late this year as well. So any excitement out of that roll call so far?
Black Widow for sure. Cause Scarlett Jo.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's taking that role to the limit because I remember very early in the Black Widow's introduction to Marvel Universe was that she ain't had no powers. That's what people was like, right. That's boring. Like, why do we want to see that? But she took that role. She been handling that role. I feel like she's gonna go in on this movie.
Yeah, I think so too.
Black Widow has always been one of my favorite Marvel characters, and one of my biggest qualms is how she was handled in the films, because she is a superhuman by the definition of the word because of how she's trained, and she does have like superhuman abilities, but they never played her that way. They in the Age of Ultron, I always hated this, and it took me so long to figure out why. There's the whole discussion where she calls herself a monster because she can't have kids.
Nope.
Again, dumbing her down. And then we see her die in Endgame because her life is valued less, essentially, than Hawkeye's because he has a family. When we just had the discussion that she cannot have kids. Exactly. I could talk about this later. listen, so Yes, I am thrilled for the Black Widow movie. I think it's been a long time coming. Yeah. Finally, her solo act. I think Scarlett Johansson has played her. She was a phenomenal Black Widow. I would agree. So, yeah, I mean, I've been excited for that movie like 2 years ago when it was supposed to come out last year. It was like last May or something, and then it got pushed back until like July or whatever. Yeah. So...
I was excited for it after the first Avengers movie.
Look, he said, I've been waiting on this Black Widow movie for a minute. That is funny. I would probably say out of the ones that was announced, I'm not going to lie, Spider-Man is probably towards the top. There's a lot of hype for Black Panther 2. That's supposed to be summer next year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, that's a lot of mixed feelings because it's like, obviously, the person that brought that role to life is no longer here, so it's kind of just like we gonna support it, but it sucks. Like, if they continue it, it's gonna be difficult. It's gonna be very difficult.
Oh, easy.
And then and then Guardians of the Galaxy is what is it? Spring 2023. So 2 years from now, they got the next Guardians of the Galaxy, which I'm a big Guardians of the Galaxy fan because it was. Like when I seen the first one, I thought it was the most random movie of my life because I like never followed Marvel that close. But I was like, what is this? Like, but it was just good. It was really good to watch.
I think I watched the first one probably like 5 or 6 months ago for the first time because they were introduced to me. Actually, I must say, I think it was it Infinity War? Like, I literally had not seen anything Guardians of the Galaxy until Infinity Wars.
Yep. Yeah, it was funny because those movies are a trip for sure. Where you're just like, this is not what I was expecting. But I will say both of them had a moment where it, like a single tier moment where it's like in the first one with Groot.
Yep.
You know where he explodes.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it by now. And the second one with Yondu, I was kind of like, damn.
Yeah.
I thought this was all lighthearted, and you're pulling this out.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think that's a little special. Treat they got in the Marvel universe. But
yeah,
one of the conversations I definitely wanted to bring up while we was texting each other was that Marvel is so diverse at this point of Hollywood, and I would say Marvel probably holds a lot of Hollywood's budget right now, and it's women in it that take lead roles. There's Black people, there's Asian people, literally all types of people that are playing major parts of these films. And I really just wanted to give them credit, and I wanted to hear what your guys' thoughts on it was as far as like other movies in Hollywood. I definitely wanted to talk about this because to tie in our Third Shift show, we talk a lot about basically people being themselves and putting themselves out there as far as different backgrounds, different races, all that stuff. And Marvel, I think Marvel is up there as far as inclusion.
Yeah, because Anthony Mackie's leading the way, so I'm okay with it.
Yes, that's huge.
So, I'm okay with it.
And I did
think
you
of the memes.
There you go.
I just think of the memes every time I see them, but other than that, yeah, I mean,
What was you saying, Carol?
I was gonna say, did you guys watch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
I haven't.
Yes, I did. I did. Yep.
It's one of those things where because I know in the comics, at least I'm pretty sure in the comics, mm-hmm. Steve initially hands the shield to Bucky, and I was so excited to see him hand it to Sam, and I liked that they made that conscious decision. And so going into it, I was like, yes, let's get right into the movies with Sam as Captain America. But now it's like, after having watched The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, there's no way you can tell Sam's story of him taking the shield without the discussion that took place in The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So it's like 2020 hindsight, looking back, I'm like, it's so important that they did that, because this is the first time that they're really having a person of color, not necessarily the first time that they're stepping up into this role, but stepping into a role like Captain America that was the foundation for this universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and it's crazy because Captain America's history was literally like early, like World War One. Am I right?
Was it two? Was it one or two?
Two?
Cam, you should.
I can't remember.
Do you know Cam?
First two, but I mean, same deal. Yeah. War is war.
Either way, it was a time where it would have been outrageous for a black person to be Captain America. So that's why. That's why I was like, it's big time because I almost feel like Marvel didn't have to try that hard because Anthony Mackie is a fantastic actor. He's been leading the way for all of his movies that he's been in. So for him to take on that role is big time. And then, I mean, we was just talking about Black Widow. I think Black Widow will be one of Marvel's biggest movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I will tell you too, Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, that was one of my favorite. Because I think Cam talked me into watching it.
Oh, Captain Marvel?
Watching Captain Marvel, yeah. Because I wanted to go see it when I was out in theaters. Because I'm trying to remember, was Captain Marvel between Infinity War and Endgame, or was it after?
Yeah, no,
you're right. Was it between? That's what I thought. Yeah, because I knew I skipped one somewhere and I didn't see it.
Yeah, and I mean, and Captain Marvel had all types of people in that movie.
Yeah, like, there was a lot, yeah.
And that's what I'm very excited for, the second Captain Marvel movie. So that was another thing that was released in the slate, was it changed from Captain Marvel 2 to being called the Marvels. Yeah. And that's another really exciting thing, because in the logo now, you see Monica Rambeau's kind of her emblem.
Yep.
When she becomes Spectrum. So we have a black woman coming into the role as well.
Yeah.
And then you have Imani Vellani, who is a Muslim actress who is Miss Marvel. And so it's going to be all of them together. And so they just keep pushing that cast of like just more people.
Yeah.
More people who look like other people, which is just, it's so exciting. And I loved Captain Marvel as well. So, and I am a Brie Larson fan. So I feel like she'll do it justice in terms of like pushing for bringing people to the table with her.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely big time.
Yeah, it definitely is. So yeah.
So, and also, this is random. I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but I'm also very excited for the next Thor movie that's coming out.
Oh, that was announced. When was that?
Yeah, a weird full circle moment. I don't know if you heard, but Christian Bale is in it.
Oh Lord!
What?
He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big Thor fan. Like, I'm gonna bring back since Marvel is of discussion, they forced this on themselves with this trailer. I think DC is killing Marvel. That's just me personally. Like, Marvel has a great universe. They have great characters, but I just feel like DC hero to hero is killing, like a Hulk. Like, what is Hulk? Like a Captain America, Iron Man, like these dudes they just seem so like not basic, but they sound like superheroes. And I feel like DC has those like grimy dudes that come out of an alley because they've been sitting in radiation and now they have powers. Like that's lit. Like,
like Scarecrow?
Yes.
Like Scarecrow?
Yeah, Scarecrow was he was a doctor that just started doing his own medicine. Like that's come on, man. Like, that's so real.
Yeah.
So, but Thor, I'm going to have to check that out now that you said that. Christian Bale's playing, what is it? Thor?
I think he might be a villain.
Oh, she's a villain?
Ooh. I think he might be cast as a villain.
Yeah,
but look, Kate Blanchett at Hela is probably my favorite Marvel villain.
Who's that?
Hela.
Yeah.
From Thor Ragnarok.
Oh yeah. No, he's up there. I liked in, where was it, Iron Man, when he was fighting who was Iron Man messing with in the first, like the very first Iron Man?
I can't think of his name. It's something like at the end of the movie, it was like the other guy who like wants to be Iron Man or whatever.
No, it was who he was fighting. Like, who was his main villain in the first one? Wasn't it
wasn't he like a prisoner of war?
I think he might have been. I haven't seen the first one in forever.
Oh no, you're right. It was the dude who wanted to be like, he basically had his like own suit or whatever.
The old bald guy, like, at the end of the movie. Yes. Yeah, that guy.
Yes. And that was like I said, I'm a DC fan, so I like these dudes that are like all like gutter with it, like, hey, I just made this suit, I'm about to go body this Metropolis over here. Like, that's cool to me, because that type of stuff I'm not saying you could see happen, but it's cool seeing that type of stuff, because you're like, that could happen, maybe, I don't know.
It could be. It could be you.
Right. Hey. Hey. I don't know.
I don't know. So yeah. So it sounds like that's it for this episode. Those are all our topics. It sounds like wrapping it up.
Yeah. I mean, this was a great first episode. I'm really excited to get this going because, I mean, like Cam said earlier, I mean, movies are starting to come out now. It's starting to get back to that time where people know how to navigate what we're going through now. We got HBO, we got Hulu, we got Netflix, and some theaters are still opening. So the movies is coming back. And I think this will be definitely good for all of us to chop it up about some movies. And yeah.
I still have to watch Mortal Kombat, even though I've heard it's really like corny.
I would say watch Mortal Kombat.
Okay. It was a video game movie.
Yeah. Did you watch it too already?
I did, yeah. I watched it at, like, yesterday.
I'm the only person that
you listen out. This is my only thing. Like she said, it's a video game movie. No video game movies do well. But this one, I feel like, will age well because it's basically a 2021 version of the one they made 10, 15 years ago. So that's why I feel like this one will age well. And they're talking about, like, doing series with it. They're talking about TV show offers. Like, ain't no telling what we're about to see, but I feel like that trend that they got going right now, I think you should tune in. I ain't gonna lie.
Do a Warzone video game. Put Young Thug in it.
Yeah.
Like we talked about before, but Young Thug.
Yeah. But hey, so this is the Hollywood Heat with Cam, Cantley, and we out of here.
Emily.
Yeah, Emily.
We'll catch y'all on the next one, man.
Yep.